it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale. Frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio. Glad to have you here. It's a beautiful Wednesday, and we are continuing our look back at the Seattle Hemp Fest last weekend, the 25th anniversary. We've got more highlights, more speeches, more interviews all week long, and other great guests that will be joining us live on the show. Coming up on tomorrow's show, in our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment, we've got former prosecutor Teresa Smallwood. And then on Friday, joining us, very special guest Maya Elizabeth from the company Whoopi and Maya, as in Whoopi Goldberg and Maya Elizabeth, making menstrual marijuana products. That's what they're called now, menstrual marijuana products. I think that's a pretty good name there. We'll learn all about that from Maya Elizabeth on Friday's show. And then all new shows next week as well, leading into the Labor Day weekend. So enjoy. We're also, I'll be spending a lot of time over the next week or so getting the RadicalRust.com site rebuilt. Just getting some of the details finalized. And we'll tackle that this weekend and see what we can get accomplished over the 72-hour period that I'll have. Thank you for your patience in waiting for that. We appreciate that. It is difficult sometimes getting this all taken care of on my own, let me tell you. And we've got other events coming up next month. We will be in Boston for the Boston Freedom Rally. So really looking forward to that event as well, meeting up with all the East Coast activists. And, of course, coming up all the way on November 8th, not too soon to start planning for it, our epic 6 hour long, at least 6 hours, coverage of Marijuana Election Night 2016, the most incredible marijuana election night coverage of my broadcasting career. We've got 10 states that will be voting on statewide initiatives. 10. We just got Oklahoma added, although it's not a done deal yet. They got 2,000 more signatures than they need, and now it goes to the Oklahoma Supreme Court to determine if they indeed got 2,000 more signatures. The way I read this is it's kind of like a formality, but it looks like Oklahoma will make the ballot. Now, the news story I read on this was a little concerning, though, because there was something in that about only Oklahomans who are age 25 and older would be able to get medical marijuana. 25? Now, maybe this is based on all that junk science about, oh my God, the brain doesn't start developing until age 25. Like, if you got a sick 17-year-old with cancer, you're really going to be that concerned about whether you shave off a couple IQ points. That's going to be a big concern of yours when your kid is, you know, violently retching from the chemotherapy. Just doesn't make any sense. But anyway, this Oklahoma initiative, state question 788. And I'm trying, let's see. 18. Here's the actual ballot title. This measure amends the Oklahoma state statutes. A yes vote legalizes the licensed use, sale, and growth of marijuana in Oklahoma for medicinal purposes. A license is required for use and possession of marijuana for medicinal purposes and must be approved by an Oklahoma board certified physician. The State Department of Health will issue medical marijuana licenses if the applicant is 18 years or older. 18 years of older? No. 18 years or older and an Oklahoma resident. A special exemption will be granted to an applicant under the age of 18. However, these applications must be signed by two physicians and a parent or legal guardian. The department will also issue seller, grower, packaging, transportation, research, and caregiver licenses. Individual and retail businesses must meet minimum requirements to be licensed to sell marijuana to licensees. The punishment for unlicensed possession of permitted amounts of marijuana for individuals who can state a medical condition is a fine not exceeding $400. So they're also going to decrim unlicensed possession of marijuana, basically a kind of an affirmative defense. I imagine this might work well for out-of-state patients who get caught in Oklahoma, and if they've got, because they wouldn't have any permitted amount, right? Oklahoma's going to allow you to have, 3 ounces or whatever it is. But if you're a Californian or you're an Oregonian, you got your card, you're busted in Oklahoma, I imagine that would be your ability to state a medical condition. So maybe that's decrim for medical marijuana patients. I'll have to do some more research on that. That's the way it reads to me. There's also going to be a 7% sales tax imposed on medical marijuana. I don't understand this, wanting to legalize a medicine for extremely sick people and then taxing it. The money you're going to save off these people not using state services is where you reap your benefits, not by taking it out of their pockets.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Welcome to Cannabis Confidential. I'm your host, Dr. Dina. We've got David Faustino on the line, Bud Bundy from Married with Children. Did you feel nervous being a celebrity walking into a weed store?
I don't remember at all being like, ooh, I'm scared someone's going to take my picture here.
What are they going to say? Bud Bundy smokes bud? I mean, come on.
It wouldn't be a big shocker. Hey, this is David Faustino, and I'm on Cannabis Confidential with my girl Dr. Dina on CannabisRadio.com.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 10 after the hour, we continue with our look back at Seattle Hemp Fest. I was backstage at the Sealy stage when I ran into Jeff Eichen. He's a filmmaker, and he's behind a project called Lifers the Movie. So I want you to check that out. Lifersthemovie.com is the website to learn more about it. And we address the need to free our marijuana POWs. Good day, tokers and toquettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here backstage at Sealy Stage on day two of the 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest. And I've run into Jeff Eichen. He's the man behind Lifers, the true stories told by people imprisoned for life for their belief in marijuana. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Yeah, now it's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. So I go all the way back to hip hop and Grandmaster Flash for a long time, and I've been in this world with Jack Herrera. He wrote the book with Ellen Comp in my living room.
Wow.
That was the revision. And so I told Jack when he gave me $301 bills to fly to Sacramento with the Hemp Initiative, I flew it in with khaki pants and an alligator shirt, and I walked right in the state capitol in Sacramento and passed off what is now medical marijuana legalization. They were too stoned to bring it in, and it was going to be late the next day.
Somebody has to be on time.
So I've been in it a long time, and I told Jack before he died, I'm not going to die myself without having one more prisoner left in jail. So as everybody's doing their medical, everyone's doing their recreational, and they're trying to grow hemp for paper and fabric and paper fiber and fuel here in America, I'm going inside to tell the story of our prisoners, our moms and our dads and our brothers and our sisters that are locked away for no freaking reason at all. And global prohibition has to end. It never worked on alcohol.
That's absolutely right. Lifers, it's lifersthemovie.com. And, you know, our opponents, they like to spin this fantasy of, oh, nobody goes to jail for marijuana. They get a slap on the wrist. They get probation. Nobody's really. And the few that were in there, well, they pleaded down. They were big, bad guys, and they pleaded down. Can you debunk that for us?
The freaking war on drugs started way back when, and the Clinton administration and the Nixon administration weren't any good for us. You know, when we went to Iraq, it was collateral damage for your son that died. So a lot of this stuff is so bogus, and it's three strikes, you're in.
Yeah. Three strikes, you're in.
And it's really true, because Jeff Mazansky and George Montorano are going to be at our gala opening tonight, everybody, at the Seattle Film Institute, and we're just going to show our film. I've been working on it for 100 hours to do my first cut, and I don't claim to be a filmmaker. I'm a photographer by heart and trade, and yet I'm going to tell the story and do the best I can journalistically to let these people have a voice.
Yeah, Jeff Mazansky, 22 years in Missouri. George was what, 33?
33.
And I have this.
And George told me last night he was 5 years in solitary. He says, You want to break down? Go dark.
Yeah. I wear this medal that was given to me by Robert Platshorn, who did 29 years. And at the time, that was the longest serving nonviolent offender. And sad to say, that's a record that gets broken.
Well, the thing is with me is I'm going to go inside. I'm going to get to Obama, whether he's in office or not. He's still trying to deal with nonviolent criminals. And all of the brothers and sisters come up to me and say, you're just talking about whiteys for pot. And I said, no, I'm going to talk about your brother and crack if he didn't have a gun. And if it was nonviolent, I want him in my movie. I want to represent all of them. I want reform.
There have been a series of commutations by the Obama administration for many offenders who'd got caught
very little
in the crack days.
Very little of them have been plant prisoners.
Right. Like I was going to say, 200, I think it was 216 in the last release, and four of them were marijuana only.
And so we're blessed for that. We'll take it. But the bottom line is, if you go to Amy Povah with Can Do Clemency, she'll tell you, and Beth Curtis will tell you how many are in there, and Beth Curtis's brother's in there. And so we just have to get busy. And through film, my film, Lifers, everybody, lifersthemovie.com, through film, we are going to prove, show, and share with children and the universe, because film can reach millions. And if I get Woody Harrelson, here, you listen to me, Woody, if you're out there and your film company will take this, because I know you're a hamster, and Willie will come on board, Bill Morrow will come on board, Snoop Dogg will come on board, and if we get all these people, I already interviewed Tommy Chong, and if everybody will come on board and shovel me the ability, I'm not asking for gobs amounts of dough to go in my pocket. I want to give restitution to these men that got 12 cents an hour for 20 years.
Yeah, people are so unaware of that whole slave labor aspect of this prison industrial complex, and how you want it's incentivization to bust the cannabis consumer, because we're reliable, good people that you can put to work. It's just sad.
Reform, clemency, restitution.
Absolutely.
Free the prisoners, free the plant, everybody. Chant it for your kids. Chant it out loud. Take it with you. No more trees for paper, everybody. Just get on the bandwagon. Listen to Russ. He's going to tell you like it is. And I worked with Ed Rosenthal and Jack Herrera for my whole life down in L.A., and they were doing exactly what you're doing, brother, and I love you.
Thank you, man.
And I'm glad to meet you. I haven't ever, like, bumped into you, and I'm so... You know, you're articulate, I'm articulate, but it doesn't mean anything if we can't get the word out to the right. regular folk.
Exactly. And movies like this, lifersthemovie.com, are going to help. And you said you have a premiere tonight. Give people the details on that if they're...
The premiere tonight is at the Seattle Film Institute, and we're going to have Jeff Mazansky and ex-lifers there. We're going to have Dr. Parthenia Grant and her sidekick there, Morgan, and we're going to... from L.A. She's a spiritual talk host and get the spiritual side to this whole reform thing. She also does not believe truly, wholeheartedly in the marijuana scheme. She wants reform for the whole system. And she says that people don't get reformed in jail.
Right. Jail's a lousy rehab.
And so it's going to be a gala tonight. We'll have music there. We'll have interviews. We're having the green carpet instead of the red carpet, and we're going to have lights and camera. Wear green. Come on down 8 to 11 tonight, everybody. I'm psyching myself up. This is my first debut. And I'm not a filmmaker, but maybe I am, and we'll see. Everybody can grade me and have a great time and get the word out through film. We can reach millions, not just hundreds.
Looking forward, is there going to be more screenings of the film that you're aware of?
We're doing 6 episodes. Episode number 2 is about the children and the families.
Okay.
How they're affected.
So people can't, if they miss this screening, will they be able
to see
it?
Oh, yes. We're
going
to start to do other festivals, and we're going to try to get into Canna Films or Canna.
Okay.
Canacon, whatever it is, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to let this thing fly, and we may put it online. If we put it online, don't shoot the messenger if we ask for a donation to watch it, because that's going to go to the cause.
Right on. Lifersthemovie.com will give you all the information you need. You can also find them on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and Twitter, and email jeichen, that's jeichen, @anet.net.
Bravo. It's a pleasure to be a warrior. It's a pleasure to be speaking out. It's a pleasure. 25 years at HempFest. I've been 40 years at the Oregon Country Fair.
Oh, wow.
So I met Ken Kesey.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. We're still on this bus. Jerry's gone and Ken's gone, but we have to do what we're doing, you and I, brother.
Right on.
It's so important to look me in the eyes and to say, hey, you know, and we're in the skin.
Right on. We're going to get this changed in... We don't stop until nobody's punished for a plant.
Well, I want to end prohibition in my lifetime, and I want to help to do it by film, because then we can send just our film to everybody. They can sit and watch it in their leisure or be in a room full of important people that need to hear this message. And I want to go to Israel and get the Israeli people that are studying the CBD aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, great research going on.
Everybody is on it, but we just lost Schedule 1 again.
Yeah. Yeah, I the more people I talk to about it, it's just... The scheduling system and the way the laws are set up are just not going to recognize the plant. We have to go completely around it. We've got to deschedule.
Well, the deal is that nobody beat their wife up on pot, but alcohol's legal. What's wrong with this pitcher?
Yeah.
You know, you drink, and then you get angry, and you smoke and smoke and smoke, and you get sexy.
Yeah.
Or you get the munchies, or you go to sleep.
You get to take a nap.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's the byproduct, everybody. The plant does wonderful miracles. Jack Herrera said paper, fiber, fuel. I say medicine and food now. And I just met Baby Landon a few minutes ago. I took a walk, and all of a sudden I hit Baby Landon, and Landon had cancer, and his mom is leader of the Canna Moms, and all these children are releasing their cancer through CBD oils and good extraction. So get clean stuff when you have cancer, everybody. Find your source, and don't stop, and don't let anybody tell you no, you need chemo.
Right on. Jeff Eichen, it's lifersthemovie.com. Thanks so much for sitting down and continuing the fight.
Our movie is chemo. It's CBD movie, and I just want to infuse everybody with it. And I'm the other side. Everybody's on the outside playing, making their millions, doing this and that. I don't mind any of that. But being on the inside, my heart just broke open this morning when I was reading my speech to myself. And I just said, I am doing it. And I looked, my dad came down and touched me on my shoulder.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. We're going to return to the Seattle Hemp Fest.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
All right. Folks, it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. And while we do so, we got some music from the Seattle Hemp Fest, a local Seattle band called Furniture Girls. They usually do original music, but they did give us one short cover from the main stage at Seattle Hemp Fest with Cyndi Lauper's famous tune, She Bop.
Girls, we'll be out here milling around. Please come talk to us. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Hemp Fest. Thanks, and I have pride.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is.
Why'd I come in here?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 25 after the hour. Hope you had yourselves a great break. In this next segment, we spoke with Joy Beckerman, who won a special award from the Seattle Hemp Fest, for her work in getting an industrial hemp law passed in Washington State, which is kind of surprising since they've had medical marijuana since 1998 and recreational marijuana since 2012. Only now have they gotten around to legalizing hemp. And if you thought legalizing marijuana meant hemp was legal, Joy's going to explain to you all of the little pitfalls in that line of thinking. One of my good friends from Seattle Hemp Fest last weekend, this is Joy Beckerman. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ backstage, day three of the 25th anniversary Seattle Hemp Fest. And I have the Seattle Hemp Fest honoree this year. Joy Beckerman is joining us.
Beyond humbled. Told that Vivian he could have given that award to me alone in a room by ourselves, and it would have meant just the very same thing. That was an incredible honor.
What is the official title of it? I didn't catch that.
Amen. No, it's called the Excellence in Regional Cannabis Activism of the Year Award.
I see. And a lot of this has to do with your activism in getting Washington to finally, after legalizing recreational cannabis, to finally get around to legalizing industrial hemp.
Isn't it amazing? And, you know, back in the 90s, we predicted, actually, that that would happen, that it would take marijuana to sort of blow the doors down for industrial hemp. Now, while it didn't in some other states, it did here. So while we have 13 million square feet of legal canopy of marijuana growing here in the state,
it better have 0.3% THC in it.
It has to have at least 0.3%. We have not yet planted an actual legal industrial hemp plant since Prohibition here in the state of Washington. So those gorgeous hemp plants that you see in the Hemposium tent at Seattle Hemp Fest this year, that is an act of civil disobedience. Those are actually not legal hemp plants. We're in our rulemaking process now. I'm very pleased to be a part of that for the 2017 growing season.
Wow. So right now, plants in the Hemposium won't get you stoned enough to be legal.
And they will so not get you stoned that you will, in fact, get a headache. They do go the other way, as people, much to most folks' chagrin.
My goodness, if you're going to have cannabis plants here, they better get somebody high.
Indeed. And something you'd appreciate, Russ, and these emails, of course, will go in the archive, and we'll all be able to laugh at them once this insane issue of 0.3, which, of course, we both know painfully well is not based in science, goes away. So we've had folks wanting to grow hemp so badly in the state of Washington that I've been forwarded emails that are like, what should I do? This is what the Liquor Cannabis Board said. And they would send an email to the Liquor Cannabis Board, say, hey, can I get a marijuana, like, I'm willing to get a 502 marijuana license to grow industrial hemp.
Yeah.
So the response has gone back. This is prior to our legislation. Industrial hemp is a Schedule I controlled substance in the state of Washington. Anything below 0.3% THC in cannabis is a Schedule I controlled substance in the state of Washington, and it is neither legal nor regulated by the Liquor and Cannabis Board, and the Washington State Department of Agriculture is not issuing licenses because it hasn't been legalized.
So why not take advantage of that? Because I've heard hemp growers complain about the 0.3 limit, saying it doesn't allow the hemp plant to have as much protection from UV and stuff like that. So why not get the license and grow 0.5% and be legal and have stronger hemp at that?
You wouldn't be able then to participate in really what is the number one. I'm so glad you asked this question because it gets to the big heart of the issue, which is infrastructure is really what we need here. So then we wouldn't be able to participate, particularly in this state where in our legislation we're prohibited from collecting the plant material for phytocannabinoid extraction. So the first industry that the brand new reintroducing level of industrial hemp crop is going to go in is human consumption. And so in order to enter that human consumption market, which is ginormous, it absolutely must be under 0.3. And frankly, under 0.3, because once we get into volume of, let's say, beautiful cold-pressed oil, we don't want parts per million to sneak above. We don't want anyone to test positive in a workplace drug test, so on and so forth. So, and that's the first industry that we can access because we have actually seed pressing infrastructure already set up in most states, and that's certainly true of Washington. And then even what we call meal, seed meal cake processing infrastructure already set up. And I'll just quickly add to that, that what I mean by seed meal is after we press that oil, cold press that oil, that seed, what's left over is something called seed cake. And it still has a teeny bit of oil left in it, but it has the hull and that creamy white nut that's in the middle of it. That's what's left over after they press the seed, and it's like pelletized, it comes out. And then we take that and dry it and then crush it up. And then we use sifters to create protein powder. Now, I used to think that the protein powder was the hemp seed crushed up. No, yeah. That would be a nut butter. It's actually the seed cake left over from the seed pressing, oil pressing, that we mill that and then sift it into different levels of fine grade protein powder all the way down to what we call sort of a coarse ground meal, which is mostly hulls and an incredible source of soluble dietary fiber. And copper and folic acid. Wow, I'm stoned, brother. I could go on. You got to stop me.
Okay, so to boil it all down, the hemp has to be below 0.3% because the leading thing we would use it for is human ingestion, and then it has to be below 0.3 for other laws that are built on that because you don't want to test positive and all of that.
Can't wait till that whole thing is removed. Yeah. To hear you regurgitate what I just said back, it's like, go away, 0.3.
It's crazy. And then, if you wanted to grow 0.5 under I-502 for the stock, for the fiber, for hempcrete productions or whatever, we just don't really have the infrastructure to handle the result at this point.
And because you are a law and policy buff, which is why there are many reasons I love you, brother, but you know you're my type, brother, because you're a freaking nerd and a half
a
with
nerd.
Law and policy. So you'll really appreciate the response to this.
Okay.
Actually, no, because once we're at above 0.3, we're defined as marijuana here, and you wouldn't believe what you got to do with the stocks under the law.
Oh, no.
Duh, 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 duh. Now, that in terms of disposal, which is they have to be, although I've got some ideas, which I'm actually not going to share with the general public, we do have to render them non-usable somehow by 50%,
okay.
And there are things we can add to that. But there's a lot of folks wanting to make a legislative change, and frankly, that's just a tweak of a legislative change and one that just needs to be moved up the priority chain.
Okay.
It's also an environmental travesty, the amount of biomass that 13 million square feet of legal canopy creates of the world's finest cellulose.
Yes.
That must be destroyed under the law of the land. It is an environmental travesty. It's unacceptable.
I don't think people out there even know that when we're producing all of this fine cannabis bud in Washington State, the rest of it is the leaf done away with too?
Oh, anything that is... they're allowed to use trim. Well, I suppose they just keep what's called the sugar leaf for
right,
trim, right?
Right.
You're talking to the hemp girl, although I'm pretty... I've been around this marijuana thing for a good quarter century and hemp, but I think that at some point it becomes waste, and that same RCW, Revised Code of Washington, that governs waste for the stock would govern waste for those fan leaves that are just totally... Nobody wants them.
Wow. What a weird setup.
Isn't that something?
Well, we're continuing to move forward. You have done a great job in your activism in getting this law passed. When will we see a hemp harvest in Washington State?
Oh, great question. And I also, very quickly before I answer that question, wanted to say, and who got the Excellence for National Cannabis Activism of the Year Award? Our own Rick Steves.
Oh, yes. Rick Steves was last Friday night. They all start to blend together now.
Mm-hmm. And he spoke yesterday on main stage. I got to follow him.
Oh, good, mm-hmm. Good. And... You know, I always tell people that flip through PBS, look on your guide for Rick Steves Europe, because you're thinking, oh, it's grandma's show, I don't really care. Load a bowl and watch that show, because, you know, I'm not the hugest fan of religion, but some of the architecture and art that you see on his show is...
You're learning sociology. It's fascinating.
It's mind-blowing. And he does, if you watch close, he sneaks in little references to the fact that Europeans are cool as far as cannabis goes.
I.e. civil rights.
Yeah.
And tolerance.
Well done.
And those processes. So, but to answer your question, and what we didn't say is, of course, that he is a member of the National Board of Normal, the National Organization for the Reform Marijuana Laws. So go Normal, because we live 2 miles apart from each other.
And he was once Lutheran of the Year.
He's a fantastically church-going pot smoker.
Absolutely.
So to answer your question, though, and thank you for asking it, we certainly hope that the rules process, and by we, I mean the WSDA, is just as invested in this and, frankly, just as excited about this. And we're very blessed that our state legislature actually funded a full-time employee position to coordinate this rules program, and she's wonderful, and she's an attorney and has 3 master's degrees and is fantastically open and excited to involve the public in this process. So once we get the rules done under our rulemaking process, which is very timed and regimented for, with all of these types of situations, not just cannabis, we hope those applications will be out in time for farmers and folks interested in participating in our agricultural pilot program, because of course it's under Section 7606 of the Federal Farm Bill, which is the legitimacy of industrial hemp research. They will complete those applications. We'll be able to look at them. I shouldn't say we, the state of Washington, certainly that's specific to the WSDA, look at them, issue those who are eligible licenses in enough time to order seeds to put them in the ground for the growing season, in which case we hope that September, and maybe even in some cases late August, we will see the very, of 2017, we'll see the very first Washington State hemp harvest.
All right.
Meantime, I'm headed to Oregon, brother. They're already starting out there.
That's right. We are growing in Oregon. So much is happening. When do we start getting that infrastructure that we need?
Well, because you folks in Oregon, unlike in Washington, are not prohibited, thus allowed, to extract the plant material, i.e. the leaves and the buds of the industrial hemp plant for phytocannabinoid extraction, and just to dull that down a little bit, for CBD extraction, sure, cannabidiol extraction, and all of the others, obviously. You're allowed to do that there, and not only are you allowed to do that in Oregon, you have an infrastructure, amazingly, already set up for extraction, as we do here, but we're not able to access it because our law specifically says you will not be allowed to collect the plant material or extract. As a matter of fact, to be specific, it says if it is for topical ingestion, inhalation of any kind, only the seeds may be processed.
Oh.
Yeah, so and the WSDA was very clear in writing that. They didn't want any loopholes because they're very clear, like Canada, who was legalized in 1998, and they're not allowed right now. Of course, they're raging against it and really wanting to that right to get into this sort of low-hanging fruit, amazing market of CBD, but they're not allowed in Canada to this day. That biomass is not to leave the farm. It cannot be collected and no phytocannabinoids extracted. So to answer your question, since you have an extraction infrastructure and you're allowed to extract, boom, it already exists in Oregon, so bully for you.
Right.
And then folks are already pressing seed. Cliff Warner, amazing. Edgar Winters from Natural Good Medicine. And Cliff Warner, that's not his name, and I'm so sorry. It's Cliff Thompson. Okay, yeah. Now I'm just butchering it.
Cliff Warner's Marijuana Gateway to Health.
Yeah, exactly, like I'm on Facebook, brother. But he is pressing oil and making his own protein powders. So you guys are doing it, brother.
All right.
We can't wait till you can process the stock. None of us can. All the states want to process that stock. That's called decortication, and it's coming.
All right. We keep looking forward to that. Joy Beckerman is our hemp expert, one of our many hemp experts that we have here at the Seattle Hemp Fest. And we're friends, and I've interviewed you so many times that you get to be the victim of the inaugural Radical Russ non-marijuana question of the interview. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. I'm bracing myself. Because not many people can throw me a trick when you fucking can.
They're easy. No, these are easy. They're not meant to be hardball questions or anything like that. Okay. They're just meant to show that the cannabis community is a broad and diverse community. You are going to the first trip to Mars. You're going to be, you know, planting hemp on Mars, let's say. And because you're in a tight capsule, there's a strict weight limit. And you can only take... memory limit on the computers and such, and you can only take 3 albums with you to Mars. Which 3 albums of music would you take with you? This is a variation on the you're stranded on a desert island question.
Yes.
I figured let's go to Mars.
Yes. Okay. It's so immediate. It's like ridiculous.
Okay.
Grateful Dead, Working Man's Dead, Bob Marley, Legend, and nobody judge me, motherfuckers. Crosby, Stills, and Nash's greatest hits.
There we go. I love it. Joy Beckerman, we're live back here at Seattle Hemp Fest. We got to go because this weed ain't going to smoke itself.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points.
PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 40 after the hour, just winding things up here in hour two, and reminding you that coming up at the top of the hour, Stoner Jesus takes over the live stream here at CannabisRadio.com with your not safe for work pot comedy straight from Stoner Heaven. We got one more speech to, or one more discussion to bring you, an interview. I sat down with Madeline Martinez, the founder of Oregon Normal, member of the Normal Board of Directors, and proprietess of the world-famous Cannabis Cafe. Find out what's going on with Madeline in her life these days.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ backstage at the main stage of Seattle Hemp Fest. It's day three, and I've run into my mentor. It's Madeline Martinez, whose CV is too long to even reproduce in the intro. She's it all. She's everything to me. How you doing, Madeline?
Oh, thank you, Russ. Thank you so much. Actually, I've been doing really well. I'm pretty excited, floating on a cloud. I was invited to the Edward M. Institute. Ted Kennedy, exactly. He has an institute for the U.S. Senate. And one part of their mission is to invigorate civil discord.
I see.
Yes, and I am the person for that job, I must say.
Yeah, we go back a long ways. I first met Madeline in 2005. How many Hemp Fests is this for you? How long have you been coming here?
You know, I've been coming for probably about 16 years.
Going to say around 2001.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I started coming here because, you know, it's all about weed.
Yeah.
And I'm all about weed, Russ, and you know this.
Absolutely. Madeline's on the Normal Board of Directors. She was the founder of Oregon Normal and, of course, the proprietress of the world-famous Cannabis Cafe. What is next? What's happening in your world?
Well, in my world, we're working on legislation to make sure that we get the Cannabis Cafe opened again in Portland. We are the language has been drafted. We're actually using one of the persons that's drafted it is the person who wrote the exception for hookah and cigar bars.
Oh, yes.
In the state of Oregon.
Yeah, we have and plenty of them.
Yes, yes. And the reason that the world famous Cannabis Cafe is closed is because of the Oregon Indoor Clean Air Act.
Right.
And they feel that it's very toxic for others, secondhand smoke for others to be around.
Yes, because tobacco smoke is bad, cannabis vapor has to be outlawed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Makes no sense.
You know, they say that one of the reasons, as we looked into it, we did some real back research. And we dug deep and we found that the police association, didn't have to dig too deep for that,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
Found out that the Sheriff's Association and another association of law enforcement were really concerned with the fact that they could not tell a vapor pen from an e-nail or a...
e-cig from a vapor pen.
Yes, exactly. And they were worried about minors consuming.
Yeah.
And my opinion is that it's your job to take it away from them and write them a ticket and let their parents deal with it.
I also don't understand how having a legal bar where adults are using would make any difference in whether or not kids are concealing a vapor pen. it's not like it's going to make the vapor pens disappear.
Exactly.
They exist now.
I mean, it's like, yeah, like the war in Iraq, right? These people did this, so let's go bomb these folks.
I
just don't get it. How is that? Why are you in my Kool-Aid? You know,
exactly.
Leave us alone. We are doing a legitimate job of making sure that people are 21 and older.
Yep.
People pay to get into the cannabis cafe, so obviously they know where they're going.
Yeah.
It's not like we're tricking them.
Oh, my God, there's cannabis smoke here.
Yes.
What?
Right. They want to be in secondhand smoke, right?
Exactly.
And my big concern right now, Russ, is that Oregon, especially Portland, Oregon, is so polluted with arsenic in the air in our, you know, that we breathe every day. Cassium, I think it is.
Cappium.
Okay, something like that. And, I mean, I don't even know how to say it. I don't even know what it is. But it concerns me that they are more focused on getting rid of cannabis cafes where people that are consumers can go in a legal state. Where do we go, Russ, if we don't go to the cannabis cafe and we can't smoke in our own apartment because we're in subsidized housing, perhaps grandchildren live in your home, and many other reasons that you can't consume in your own residence where we'd all like to.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you where they go. They go to the bar and then they go out in the parking lot. They light up in their car. They go walk down the alley because I'm that guy who's done that a million times.
Yeah, now that you mention that, Russ and I were able to smoke in front of the White House.
It's 2007. Bush was in there.
Bush was in office.
Oh,
so it wasn't like the Obama cool White House.
It was like Malia and we were hitting smoking bowls.
We were smoking a joint. It was very cool. We took pictures.
It was amazing. It's amazing how far we've come to think that, you know, when you and I first started this trip together, there was only like 8 medical states.
Right.
And only no legal states. And remember when people would ask, hey, Madeline, when do you think it'll be legal? When do you think it'll be legal? I used to tell people 2020, maybe.
2020. Who would have ever thunk it, right?
This quick. It's amazing.
Well, you know, I want to say, Russ, that since women have gotten involved, it seems to have expedited legalization across the country.
I think so.
Which always has made sense to me. It was just getting women motivated by finding out that their kids got busted. You know, and a lot of soccer moms have some teenagers.
Yeah.
And getting busted for weed is not acceptable. Just like when Pauline Sabin fought to end alcohol prohibition.
Yeah.
Here we are in Normal Women's Alliance and Whoopi and Maya and just...
I was going to bring that up. I think that's the next wave. I've often said that, you know, you want to get weed legalized in your state, get your grandma a salve.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the way I feel. You know, I think that it is really, really important to continue to get women involved. And seeing women in the cannabis industry just growing is amazing. I just got asked on a panel, you know, about limitations and privilege for some. Or, you know, we're obviously talking about white privilege in the industry. And one of my things is I'm on the Minority Cannabis Business Association. You know, I'm a member, let's say. And I get concerned that I don't want us to resegregate ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
But also, women need a place because men and women don't share the same issues around cannabis.
Yeah.
Now that they make the cannabis tampons, anything's possible.
I'm glad you bring up the point of the race, the disproportionality, and the privilege point, because really, you know, I'm a cisgendered, able-bodied, tall, heterosexual, middle-class, educated, white American male. I'm like a Bible short of the privileged decathlon.
Right.
And I think, because I've often dealt with this question of why is, especially back in the day, why was normal and the marijuana movement so overwhelmingly white male? And one of the thoughts that I came up with was, you know, as a white guy, you never experience any sort of hassle with life, right? You're starting life on the with the cheat codes.
We call it I used to call it, and I date myself, with the e-ticket.
The e-ticket.
At Disneyland. You'd go on any ride with that e-ticket.
That's right. And so as a white dude who never experiences any sort of problems that way, when you get that discrimination because you're a pothead, suddenly, and I'm not even trying to equate that it's even close to the same thing.
No.
But finally you go, it's a little, like a little slap in your face. It's like, wait a minute, you can't treat me this way. I'm a white dude.
Right, right.
And maybe that's why, you know, so many of those early, you know, I think that 60s, the Abby Hoffmans and the Yippies and all these guys, all these white college kids were getting involved with it, was because it was that small bit of getting woke. Right. Understanding that
slapping you with a 2x4 saying, what?
So the Minority Cannabis Business Association is working on the industry side. What's happening on the activism side getting minorities involved?
Well, you know, I've been bitching about getting minorities involved since I was first involved with Normal, before I even went on the Normal Board of Directors. Alan St. Pierre got up on stage at the Normal Conference in San Francisco and said, you know, I look around and the Normal is too fucking white and too fucking male.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got up there because I won the Pauline Sabin Award that year. And they said to me, and I said, yes, and it continues to be because I was there with my husband and we were the only Mexicans in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm one of those Mexican girls with a big mouth that doesn't go, oh, I'm sorry, did I disturb you?
Oh, no.
But you know what I'd like to say is I met a girl named Sabra Stills in... Stills. And she said something that I think is amazingly appropriate for us. If we are not sitting at the table, then we are on the menu. And they will eat a sub. It doesn't matter if we're talking about color or if we're talking about the fact that we're cannabis consumers. You know, I think that we need to be aware of that. So when you are dealing with your kids in PTA and the things that they discriminate against, because I know I never felt comfortable wearing a pod t-shirt to pick up my grandkids.
Right, right.
For sure. Yeah. So I think that we need to expand people's minds. My assistant, Shelly DeHart, actually wore her world-famous Cannabis Cafe t-shirt to pick up her son. And all the moms they were like, hey, Shelly, can I talk to you later?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. They were all looking for the hookup, and they wanted to talk about it. They wanted to know what products to use.
Yep.
So it's an amazing conversation starter sometimes.
Yes, minds are changing. So let's... The Ted Kennedy thing, when do you do that?
I do that on September 21st in Boston, Massachusetts.
Is it recorded or taped or streamed or anything like that?
I believe it is going to be. I don't know if you know who Wendy Borman is.
I think so.
Yeah, Wendy's been working on a bunch of projects, you know, documenting projects like the fact that our elephants are going to become extinct, I can't say it,
yeah.
Very soon. You know, if we don't do something about it. And she was at the Cannes Festival, the film festival, and she is working on the Women of Mary Jane.
Excellent.
And so I get to be one of those Women of Mary Jane because I love her.
Oh, yes.
She's my main thing. But, you know, one of the things that I have to say, Russ, yes, they are going to be filming it.
All right.
But the other thing I really want to mention is we have to stand up and get our prisoners of war out of prison. Now we need to make sure that we don't just sit around and get high because we can now.
Yeah.
But what about them? You know, these are our true freedom fighters. You and I have been lucky to be freedom fighters in high times.
Yeah.
I
met Bobby Platschron. He'd been in prison for 29 years, gave me this medal, and he used to be the longest serving nonviolent prisoner. We just met George Mataromo.
Right.
33 years.
I
crazy.
Know. It is absolutely insane to think that a human being can be incarcerated over a plant.
Yeah. And the anecdote I've been told is that he talked about how during the time he was in there, one particular child molester came and went 5 times.
Yeah. And
what?
Then, yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. I used to work at a women's prison, and when I went down the halls to take count, I would smell marijuana wafting down the halls. And I thought to myself, if you can't keep it out of this maximum security prison that houses the Mansons,
yeah,
how the hell are you going to keep it out of high school?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to build a wall. It'll
yeah.
be huge.
Yeah,
we'll make Mexico
a big one.
Pay for it.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
I don't think so.
Hey, Mexico's moving forward. Viva Mexico, you
That's
know,
true.
With their drug laws. And I think that it's pretty ridiculous for us to be asking other countries to follow these rigid, you know, dogmatic rules regarding marijuana when we're legalizing across the country now. We've got 10 states possibly that are going to be up there. I think we're not sure of North Dakota.
Yeah, North Dakota's on the ballot.
Oh,
yeah.
See, I mean, it's
Arkansas's got two on the ballot.
That's
two
amazing to me, right?
Yeah.
And like you said, when we started this together, this journey, we wouldn't have thought this was going to happen so quickly.
Not in Arkansas.
Yeah, and, I'm really glad that Oregon was after Colorado and Washington
yes.
State because we got four plants. wherever we want, no paperwork involved, and I think that's amazing.
It sure is. Speaking of the plants, I know you've got Madeline's Fury coming
Madeline's
out.
Fury, yeah. It came out of Pollinations Seed Company. Ryan Letts and Ryan Rice were good enough to name it after me. It is a indica, obviously, because I love me some indica.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
I've been couch locked at Madeline's place a couple times.
Yeah. Night, night. Anyway, I will say that she is Hurricane crossed by Sky Lotus.
Very nice.
An Iranian indica at that.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Broad fan leaves.
Broad. Oh, I don't know if you saw the picture of me on Facebook, but the fan leaf was so big that it covered my whole head.
Wow.
Like this. All right in front of me.
Madeline's Fury. That's coming soon here in the Pacific Northwest. All right. So to wrap things up, let's first of all give people all the, you know, the contact and information for any of the groups or industries or anybody you want to promote.
Well, I would like to promote Normal, of course, because that's what I'm part of. And we need your, you know, obviously need your support to continue. So please support us. We're the oldest marijuana reform organization in the world,
yep,
actually, and we need all the help we can get. And then, of course, write your legislators and let them know that we need to get our prisoners out. If they're in there for a marijuana, any kind of marijuana violation or offense, I find it offensive that they're still incarcerated.
Yeah.
And let's get them out. And then keep looking for me on Facebook. We have the World Famous Cannabis Cafe Facebook page. And I also want to let everybody know that this year I am a centerfold in Newsweek magazine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right. We'll check that out.
Yeah. Changing how we live.
Fantastic.
Yes.
All right. The final question. I'm adding new diverse questions to the interviews. And this one is, living or dead, three people that you've never smoked a bowl with that you'd like to.
Oh, wow. I think Mel Brooks.
Oh, I ran into him in the airport the other day.
Can
ran
you
right
imagine?
By him. He's like, whoa, shit, that's Mel Brooks.
I know. It's so thrilling. But these are people that I love dearly. Well,
you think he smokes a bowl?
I do.
Yeah.
I really do. He's too damn funny. Come on. History of the world with a giant joint in it.
Blazing Saddles. Come
Blazing
on.
Saddles. You know? Come
okay.
on.
Okay. So Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks. Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, sure.
Hey, right?
Right. Why not?
And I'm trying to, I don't know. Let me think. One more. A woman. You know, it would be great if I could smoke with
Pauline Sabin.
Pauline Sabin, of course, but Madeline Kahn. You know, she was a stoner.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are all my idols. Obviously, people that I just thought were so damn funny, and you know, humor is the key.
There we go.
Keep yourself happy. I've been married almost 47 years. A lot of cannabis and a lot of laughs.
That's beautiful. Madeline Martinez, you will find her if you look her up. She's everywhere. World Famous Cannabis Cafe, normal.org. Check it all out. We got to go because this weed ain't going to smoke itself.
That's right, baby. I got to go dab.
Great time at the Seattle Hemp Fest. Good time always talking to Madeline Martinez. And those buds of Madeline's Fury look pretty good. They smoke pretty good, too. But that's all the time I got for this show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. More highlights from our Seattle Hemp Fest and our law enforcement against prohibition guest, former prosecutor Teresa Smallwood. Stay tuned on the live stream on CannabisRadio.com because Stoner Jesus is next, coming up to save your stony soul. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.